take one of those beers?
Yeah, yeah. Just do not take, so take one.
That was right as Rev said, don't make any sound.
Can I take one of those beers?
Take a beer.
I'm going to take them all and leave just the cardboard.
It's a big Legion Black six-pack in this room. It says, do not take, need for promo purposes. If we film you drinking that beer.
That's a promo.
It's a promo. So I think we're going to be fine.
Hearing the Ted Smith's cover of Oh Blackwater, Keep On Rolling repeatedly on the air throughout the holidays has made me smile. He's like, okay, guys, I got this.
My favorite
and
is.
And he doesn't.
Summer Gold. The Summer
makes
Gold
me
one.
Feel fat. I know, it's great.
Pouring from a tap into a star.
he can hit them notes. It's the
was that
cast.
One Ted too?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Summer Gold.
Why do they always throw Ted under the bus like that?
Because
man?
He probably like me on our show are the best singers,
hands down.
And by best, I mean embarrassingly bad.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Hey, welcome back. We're back for 2020. It's the Migs cast. I'm Steve Migs with the Reverend Fuego.
Hi,
Glenn Cannon.
Hey, happy New Year.
And the newest member of the Migs cast.
Ah.
Baby oh. Tatum.
All right, Tatum.
All I want to know, dude, is did you make your middle name Tots? That's been eating it for a month.
That is her nickname, Tater Tot.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah, that yeah. And Tay-Tay. I was down with the
Tay-Tay?
Name. Tay-Tay? My wife's like, what about Tatum as a name for a baby if it's a girl? I'm like, yeah, Tay-Tay. That's just like Taylor Swift. She's like, no, we're not naming her after a psychotic woman.
I thought she named him after Channing, if it was your wife.
Oh, she's
choice.
A huge fan of Magic Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, congratulations
no, you know, to be
on
honest,
that.
When she proposed, it was the first name she proposed, and I said, absolutely. She proposed some other names, and I'm just like, no. Those
were there
dumb.
Any really, like, Windfall? Or
one, okay, the know. One that I thought was really, I hope no one listening has this name. Because I've done this before where I was like, Alexis, if you want to name your kid Alexis, it's like naming her after a stripper. And then this guy I worked with was like, my daughter's name's Alexis.
I'm my
like,
niece is named Alexis.
Right. Right. So I put my foot in my mouth. Again.
She's three.
Oh, she's fine. She's got
not
another 15
yet.
Years.
Yeah, Alexis isn't bad. I don't necessarily jump right to pornography. I love
oh,
you guys.
Stripper, not pornography.
Well.
Right. Because there's a difference. But
huge.
I don't think Alexis is that bad. It's just that's been done.
Yeah.
You know? It's like naming her Sarah. No offense to all the beautiful and lovely Sarahs of the world, but Sarah's a common name.
What if you spell
it's
it
like John
differently,
for a guy.
Though?
With
like,
a G-H. Sarah.
Sarah.
Sarah. Sarah.
This is my daughter.
Like S-E-R-R-A or something.
Like Sarah. It's the same thing, I guess. Yeah.
Sarah.
Yeah, Alexis isn't bad.
Oh, no.
Tatum.
So,
Tatum's
yeah,
good.
When
like
she
Tatum.
Proposed, I was like, oh, Bad News Bears, Tatum O'Neal,
oh, yeah.
Picture of the team, in. That was really what I thought.
Okay.
But then she proposed one of the ones that she proposed was not Oakland, like the city, but Oakland.
Oakland.
Like L-Y-N-N.
Sounds like something you would make alcohol out of.
And I was just like, yeah. This was
like
my response
Wormwood and Oakland. It's sort of absinthe
yeah.
Light.
It didn't feel like a name. You know what I mean? It felt like a fake name.
Oakland.
It does, yeah.
And plus,
so,
imagine her growing up with Oakland.
Yeah.
See,
little
I've
ochre,
heard,
little
I've heard,
oak.
I've heard Ashlyn.
Yeah, see, Ashlyn, yep. I like. But
and
see,
it's kind
again,
of like, well, an ash is a tree, and then an oak is a tree. Maybe it's like a sort of
the crazy part is her cousin just had a kid as well, like a couple weeks after ours, and their kid's name is East Lynn.
So East Lynn?
Yeah. Well, because I think they wanted to go with
bad.
East. Yeah. But
is your first name Clint?
Yes.
Clint Eastland.
See, I'm one of those guys, and I think it's because I was abused quite a bit as a child.
Oh, geez.
You look for the ways to make fun of someone.
Anything
yeah.
You name someone, yep. It's like, okay, how are kids going to twist this
oh,
to
I thought
torture
that too.
My child? Mm-hmm. Now, I was lucky Glenn wasn't a name you could really do much with,
mm-hmm.
But I did have curly hair, which caused me to get thumped on quite a bit. It's just, you know, God's cruel joke, right? But, you know, that's the thing. I remember Mark Harris's daughter, Remy, and she's beautiful. And he's like, yeah, Remy. I figure, who can mess with that? And I'm like, Rim me? And he was like,
me.
Dude, I'm like, you didn't think that through, man. You needed to contact me.
Yeah.
I've got a soul full of dark, salty hate, and I can tell you what kids are going to say.
Oh, dude. No,
I don't think it ever happened to her, by the way.
Yeah, this was her throughout
dark,
school.
Salty hate.
Tatum's rad.
Yeah, Tatum's
now,
awesome.
What is Tatum's actual middle name? I'm sure it's not
Elaine.
Tots.
Tatum Elaine.
Tatum Elaine.
Tatum Elaine
that
Migs.
That flows really well.
Yeah, that's
Tatum Elaine Migliore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a freaking
nice
royalty.
Flow.
And the best
hello.
Part, of, like, yeah.
Hear
like,
ye, hear ye. We are here for the princess, Tatum Elaine.
Yeah.
Like, even the initials don't turn into anything bad. Like, T-E-M, fine.
Tem.
Yeah, there's nothing bad about
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
My younger brother, his name is Bruce Allen, and then the last name starts with a D, so it's B-A-D.
Oh, man.
And he did, like, yeah, my stepdad did that on purpose, which was actually pretty cool.
I would have went with Randy Allen. Rad. Definitely not Steve.
Well, see, I thought you were going to say his last name was Robinson, so I was going to say, so his name's Barr?
Yeah, right.
That's amazing. Where are you going? I'm going to hang out with my friend Barr. Nothing bad ever happens. Or it could be a Texas, and we actually mean a bear.
Barr?
You know, sometimes a bar eats you, sometimes you eat the bar. Yeah.
How many times do you eat a bar?
I don't know. I've never had bear, but there is bear jerky and things of that nature.
Is there really?
Oh, yeah.
It's jerky? A real
thing. I mean, I guess that makes sense. There's jerky for all sorts of times. And I mean, I've had like bison and reindeer before, but.
Look, if it's furry and you can kill it, people have probably eaten it.
You know what? There's not anymore. Steve jerky. Kid around, it's impossible. I mean, I got no alone time.
Dude, it's kind of like having a pet. I mean, the kid can't tell mommy.
Okay, that was my question. Okay, I'm going to have to...
See, I can't say that,
though. You don't want her watching you?
I don't know if it's right or wrong. If, like, if the kid's asleep, do I put, like, a little, maybe build, like, a pillow wall?
If God made your wiener, how could it be wrong?
But, I mean, I don't want to, like... I don't know what to do.
Same room.
Pillow wall?
Same room. Yes, weird.
So what, do I throw her in the closet so I could crank it?
Sure.
Well,
that's odd.
Can't you go into another room?
Did then leave it by itself?
For, like, how long are you taking?
Sometimes I like the story. Right. You guys know me. I'm a foreplay.
He's in a good 40
minutes. Do you ever go to the bathroom? Like
about 30. Yeah, I like the foreplay of it all.
Wow.
Dude, if I get to that point, I'm like, I just want to get it over with.
Yeah, I might just do it right now, and you guys won't even know.
Well.
I mean, that's where it's at.
I mean, you're sitting next to him, Glenn. Sorry, I'm across the board.
Let me show you. Here, I'll demonstrate.
Wait, whoa.
I'm not going to take out my...
No show.
All right, so we'll set up the scenario.
This is Glenn facing Steve.
Yes.
This scenario is incorrect.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Glenn facing away from Steve.
So, still on
go
the couch.
Go for it.
We're both on the couch.
Yeah, but if I'm an infant and I'm not looking directly at your unit,
but
man.
What happens is, okay, here you are doing it, so you can, like, work on that sound or whatever it is, like, do the whole thing like this, right?
Jesus.
So, you're doing that, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah, see, that kills
it. You gotta hurry up and
kills
finish.
No.
It kills you gotta it, get
dead.
It over with.
It's a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, no, no,
ticking
wow.
Time bomb.
Well, at some point, if you're not...
So you have to put all the toys away.
Right,
I mean.
If you're not getting there, at some point you're just going to turn into a 12-year-old boy, and it's just like a breeze is going to get you.
I know.
Suddenly, kabam.
Or I'm going to wake up in the morning and be like, God, we got to clean the sheets.
Dude, next month it'll be like, Sid's pregnant again.
Yeah.
It's not a blowout.
Oh, boy. Oh, speaking of blowouts... That kid.
Oh, yeah. Fountain of poo?
Dude, it happened at church.
Have you tried pointing the child at your wife yet?
No.
What kind of range are we talking?
In anger?
Luckily, there's been a couple situations where, well, Sid learned rather quickly as changing the diaper to make sure something is underneath her and not just have her, like, laying on the rug.
Oh, yeah, otherwise, oh, you got to do the...
That's what they have the mats
it's
for.
It's kind of a thumb, pointer finger, middle finger, ankle lift. That was always my move when I had to change Haley on the seat of my truck.
Okay.
So it's like, okay. And you just get the whole thing up. And then, you know, you undo the diaper. You use the diaper to wipe the excess.
Yep.
And then you get that aside, and then you do all your cleaning. But you hold the child up like the catch of the day.
Yeah.
You kind of do that.
Yep. That's what my wife does.
Yep. That's the move.
I remember doing that when I had to my younger brother and sister because they're 10 and 11 years younger. See, so I was conscripted to do that crap.
First, I was freaked out when you said 10 or 11. I'm like, dude, that's a little old to be changing soiled diapers.
Because
like
an
11-year-old stool.
Oh, no. I was
10 or 11 years
10 or 11
older.
And older, yeah. So they were infants. I was 10 or 11.
They weren't remarkably special
needs. No.
That's
that would
awkward.
Be a hard pass on that one. There's no way that's happening.
I just picture Rev in the backyard with a garden hose, kids naked 8 feet away.
Nice. Dude, we are having a conversation, and I'm still wiping you diaper clean.
Do you remember the, from Pulp Fiction, where they're in the back with the hose?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, we've all been to county. Here comes the water.
So at church, we're there. It's the first time, this past Saturday, first time the baby's getting to meet everyone at church. And it's a huge deal.
Little
everyone
holy
say
stool.
Hi. Oh, pretty much. So she's all dressed in her cute little outfit. And then one of the ladies that I usually play like worship music with, but this week, it rotates the worship music team. So she came over, so I wanted to see, can I hold her? I'm like, yeah, sure, absolutely. She's holding her for a lot of the time, and baby's just sleeping, hanging out in her arms. It's very adorable, right? So then our pastor's like, okay, like something happens where it ends, you know, like how church is. And he gets to the point where he's giving a prayer, so everyone gets quiet. And he's very, like, he's very dramatic, so he'll take those long pauses.
Yeah.
And he took that pause. I can't impersonate the sound that my daughter made.
No.
But it resonated in that. It's not a huge room. It's more like a... like that.
Sustained.
It was like a explosion, and then just it fades slowly to
as
brown.
If a million voices suddenly screamed out in terror and were suddenly silent.
Right? I start laughing.
Baby,
my man.
Star.
And I'm struggling because I'm like, I'm laughing during prayer. I don't know, when's the lightning going to hit me? Then my wife starts laughing.
Oh,
and the
dude, people around I guarantee you, man, the Holy Trinity, they were chuckling too.
If I knew how to get onto the, there's a website where we have like all the past sermons, like they record them all.
Oh,
if
nice.
There was a way, I got to try and figure that out.
Get that audio.
Because I don't know if you can, you won't hear probably the fart, or maybe you will, because you hear, I'm pretty sure the pastor started snickering. Like, as he's saying the speech, like, his voice cracked. And, like, he could blame it on emotion. I'm blaming it on him struggling not to laugh.
Yeah, his emotion was, I'm trying not to crack up.
So
yeah.
I'm thinking it's just a nasty fart, or maybe she just pooped her diaper.
Yeah, it was an oil slick. The Exxon Valdez came to visit.
As the lady handed back the baby, I'm like, you're going to want to go wash your jeans.
Yeah, oh, she soiled no! a stranger.
A little circle.
What?
Yeah, a little dot, wet spot.
Little love
and,
dot.
And
little
it's like
spot. Sunflower.
Yeah. And it's, it, yeah.
It was awesome. It was so funny.
I mean, jeez, God,
no, come on, man.
No, I'm just thinking. It's like I'm trying to equate it to like bong water. It's like the same thing. It's like with the jeans, it's like that smell's not going away.
Oh, it doesn't smell.
Really?
That's the craziest thing. When she poops, you don't have no idea.
What are you feeding the child?
Booby milk.
Oh.
There's no stink yet.
Oh. Okay.
I never knew that. I learned something.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you have a baby, you learn how babies poop. It's crazy. But yeah, no stink smell.
That's awesome.
It is. It's
going to
change.
You start getting into like peas and carrots and meat and potatoes, you're in for some serious business.
Oh, yeah, like the other family, their 2-year-old, he pooped himself. And my wife's like, did you just fart? I'm like, no.
I love that you're immediately blamed.
Right, at church. And all of a sudden I see grandma and grandson walking out of the church to the little changing room.
Was he doing
the
cry whale or was he silent?
He was just walking very, like he walked like a walk of shame.
It's funnier to me when the child becomes the sire when they do this. You know, and it winds up like an incoming,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
being dive bombed by a Messerschmitt or something.
Air raid sirens.
The one thing I'm bummed I never recorded, I don't think she's doing it anymore, but for a while, the way that Tatum would cry, she would just say, wow. She'd be like, wow. Like a little, like a pterodactyl saying, wow. Like, wow.
Little Owen Wilson.
Wow. Yes. Man, I wish I would have got. Every time I pull out the video, she'd either stop or she was like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Sounds like my cat.
I was like, I want to play this for her when she's older, and I want to play it on my podcast. Wow.
My favorite thing about this now is this is just going to be like life lessons learned with Steve.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. It's like the new dad cast for you, man.
I know. Just I don't want to be that guy.
But it's fun because, like I had. You know, I'm not experiencing any of this, so it's kind of fun to hear you as the first time dealing with all of these things that are, like, it's a normal cycle of life sort of thing.
Well, stop me if any of the stories, though, get too, like, daddy.
Oh, no,
you know
I'm
what I
just
mean? Like,
waiting for the, when WoW becomes WoW. Why,
oh,
which will happen somewhere around 2.5, 3. Why?
Yeah, because.
Why?
Because.
Why?
Because.
Why? Because I'm your dad and I'll choke you. You know? Because you made stool on that nice lady's leg.
I just have to imagine that you'll be more patient with the child than like with like Vicky or something. Where there's sometimes where you're just like, nope, I'm not even talking to you.
Oh, yeah. Like, just shut up. Unless, my wife was laughing at me. She's like, you got pissed at the baby. I'm like, I did. She's like, well, why? Wow. I was like, she started crying, and it's like 2 minutes left in the damn Seahawks game. Like, I'm nervous.
Oh, you better just give up on dreams like those.
I know, dude.
Your time's
like,
not your time
I'm like,
anymore.
I'm holding her, and my wife laughs because one of these times I might have to record him. I sing songs to the baby to get her to stop crying, but they're really, like, they're not good songs. Like, I have no sense of tone. I can't
I thought you meant you were, like, singing, like, random Dirty Frank Zappa songs.
Shut the F up. Shut the F up. I'm a little baby.
Some Brother Lynch up there.
But I'll be like, you know, be quiet, little girl. Like, just stupid songs.
Oh,
my
wife
thinks it's adorable.
For the love of God, please be silent.
I'm gonna drop you if you don't. I'm kidding. I'm not. We'd never
you
do that.
You can go hang with your mom now.
I do that a lot.
In the other goddamn room.
There are times when she goes to take a shower and, you know, it's like, get away. Like, you know, do wife stuff or whatever. And I'll be watching and then she starts crying. And after like a good 30, 40 seconds of me trying, all of a sudden I'm walking up the steps and Sid just starts laughing. She's like, I heard. I'm shocked it took you this long to get up here.
I'm trying
like,
to be patient.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a new world, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. Do you guys want to go back to the day that it all went down?
Yeah.
All right.
I'd like to hear that. Have you heard the play-by-play?
Wait, the consummation?
Yeah, 9 months ago.
Well, not the consummation.
Mommy and Daddy
had sex. I want to hear about that, too.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Like, when you finished, did she do that weird thing where she rolled over and pulled her knees to her chest and that whole routine?
Yeah, she was doing a handstand as I got on top of her.
So we're not talking about the conception.
No, we're talking about the birth.
The birth.
Okay. Oh, okay. No,
yeah,
I'm talking about the conception.
Because you weren't exactly clear, and Justin and I were like, well, sure, man.
Yeah, okay. Well,
you
know, it's been a minute. We were talking about porn before.
Sid has this outfit she wears. And
so, like there was a few weeks leading up to it that we didn't do podcasts, and I'll be fully transparent. I know I talked with Glenn about it and a little bit with Rev as well. I've had a full-on panic attack. I was just not mentally there anymore. I was fully checked out. Like, I was
Your
depressed.
Your life was about to change.
I was losing my mind. I was just like, holy crap, this is going down. I was also just having panic attacks, and I didn't know why, and I was convincing myself I was having heart attacks, and my heart was having some issues, and then I was convincing myself that I might not be alive by the time my baby comes out, which then was giving me a bigger panic.
Yeah, that's a vicious cycle.
It was getting really bad. Like, so it was like to the point where I was just not, it was a struggle just to do the morning show, and as soon as the morning show would end, I just needed to go. And I wasn't, like, that's why there was no Megacast as well, for those that were listening, wondering about that. Also, no Migs versus the World of Wrestling, but that has nothing to do with that. I just haven't booked a wrestler in forever, and I've been too lazy. But we'll just say that's also part of the panic attacks. So I just wasn't there fully, like, full disclosure. It was just a really tough time, and it was a struggle just to get through the show. So now we're getting closer, and we passed the due date. We're a week past, and our doctor was like, okay, I just don't want to go any longer than that, so we should probably have her induced. I was like, okay, cool. I was like, but can we wait until after Friday the 13th or whatever? Yeah, I was like, because I want to wrestle that night. He's like, not going to happen. I was just laughing. I was joking. But so we're like, okay, we're going to do it Friday. We're going to induce her on the 13th at like 2 in the afternoon. So we made sure we were going to take Thursday and Friday. No, take Friday off.
Yeah. We were on Thursday.
So we were going to work Thursday. I'm like, that's fine. Tired all day Thursday, but I'm like, going to get a good night's sleep. Don't have to work the next
Tomorrow's
morning.
Tomorrow's the big day.
Big day. Well rested. Let's go celebratory last meal. I don't know. Like, it's not like we're dying, but my wife and I'm like, let's get some good, you know, some Thai food. And let's eat like
something
champions.
Nice and spicy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
birth.
Right there.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. So we have Thai food. We ordered that fine children's movie called Hustlers, starring Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez.
I don't know if you've heard of that.
You watched a J-Lo movie?
Yeah. It's about her being a stripper.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I want to see that.
You know what?
Actually.
If you could see it for free, yes. It's a waste of money.
Really?
It's not good. No, that's the good parts. The beginning is great. But then it's like the story itself, it just keeps going.
I didn't
on
expect
and on
much
and on.
Of a story from this film.
Yeah.
I figured it was all about her backside and the thong.
And you get to see that. And Constance Wu is also a stripper, and she's like my other favorite.
Constance Wu Wu?
Yeah.
Not Wu Wu. There's one Wu.
Oh, she's single in,
Single Wu.
W-U. She's the mom on Fresh Off the Boat. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen that show.
I don't know what that is.
Just Google her, man. She's hot as
ass.
Constance Wu?
Yep. Constance Wu. You'll constantly woo about her. So anyways, we're watching this movie. We just finished. And then Sid goes to the bathroom. And it's like, babe, I'm pretty sure my water just broke. I was like, well, we just ordered this movie. You think we could finish it? Kidding. There she is. There's good old Constance Wu.
I like her.
Yeah, me too. She's gorgeous.
I've never seen her before.
Yeah, now you have.
Ah, Constance.
So anyways, now I'm like panic mode. I'm thinking I got to hurry to the hospital. She's like, dude, it's going to take a while.
Oh, yeah.
So we drop Lulu off at our in-law's house.
Got to drop off the other baby.
We did. Which was funny because some person like was taking forever and I was like just riding their ass. And Sid's like, calm down. We don't need to hurry. We're fine. But the time we get there, though, full on in pain. Like, she's... We get there. She's kind of like, okay, I need a wheelchair. You got to take me to the back. Right as that's going on, somebody goes up to me. He's like, hey, Migs, congratulations. I'm like, what are the odds? This is hilarious.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's funny.
They bring us into this waiting room where like you kind of wait until everything kicks in. And I talked about this on the air. We listened to another couple that was in the waiting room as well, but you're separated by like a curtain, right? Listen to the dumbest conversation I ever heard. The guy goes to the nurse. He's like, can I ask you a question? And the nurse's like, sure. So babies, when they're inside the stomach, are they see-through?
Like translucent, like the Visible Man?
Yeah.
Kind of like a fresh roll?
And I'm looking at that. And at this point, Sid, because we've been waiting for so long, I never see her angry. She's pissed. She's sick of listening to this idiot talk. And then, like, and she's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And I'm like, I did not expect that. And I even wrote in my notes because I was like, I just need to keep this as a note because I don't want to forget this stupid question. And the lady's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, in the ultrasound, like you can see right through them and stuff. Or they see through. And I'm like,
that's an x-ray machine. It's kind of like when we x-ray you, sir. Do you have a driver's license? Yeah, I'm an educator. Really?
Also, you're about to be a parent.
I teach K through 12. And you're going to raise a child.
All I thought was, we tried for 6 years. I bet they didn't even mean to have this kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds like...
You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, this is what we're up against. And I just wanted to be like, what do you think? There's like a little the nurse waits with a body of skin that puts it on like a jacket when the baby comes out?
It's kind of like you got to expose it to, what is it, gamma rays or something?
And then it'll grow skin
like in The Fifth Element. Right. You got to bombard it with something. It was some kind of light or something. UV rays. And then it grows skin.
Dude.
When I came out, I was a muscle thing.
I was like, I couldn't believe that this is the questions. I know they sound like there's no stupid questions, but
there's plenty of them.
That's up there as a stupid question.
Have you ever, if you've seen the intro to Idiocracy, where it's the two people who are sitting there, we're waiting to have kids, and then it's the one guy who, their family, the two of them just end up having like 45 children because they're complete and utter idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you met them.
Oh,
Steve.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There they are.
Other than that, we finally get in there, that epidural shot.
They put the needle in the spine.
Oh my God, dude, that is a gangster thing, and it didn't work the first time.
Oh,
they did it again, and he didn't hit it right. They had to give her three epidurals.
Do you get to punch the guy every time he misses?
I wanted to, man.
Because it's like, dude, don't mess that up.
Well,
that's
the funny part was the first one doesn't work. They bring a new guy comes in a few hours later. It's like, oh yeah, blah blah. You got the wrong. Like, basically, clowning on the other dude that did the epidural.
Jacob always misses.
Don't
ever let him come in here and do that.
Maybe as a medical professional, don't S talk the guy before.
That guy couldn't
it's
even
not gonna
change
make anybody
tire.
In the room look good or
especially
feel good.
Especially when he had to do it a second time.
He screws up.
So, I mean, it's like, well, maybe it's just like something with I'm not blaming my wife, but like maybe there's something, I'm not assuming that they're in the
wrong.
She
has a dodgy spinal cord?
Something must have been. I don't know. Maybe it's a squirmy one.
It literally evades.
Whoa. Nope.
Woo.
Nope.
Woo. Get out of the way.
Not going to do this.
But man, oh man, so that goes on. Then all of a sudden they're like, all right, it's go time. Like after 18 hours, which is like, again, like I didn't get a good night's sleep the night before because I just assumed.
18 hours.
Yeah.
How's Sid?
She's good. Like, but, you know, she's just, like, in pain at times, not in pain, uncomfortable, though, the whole time.
Sure.
You know? And so we're just trying to get through it. We got some family hanging out with us. But then once it's, like, kind of go time, everyone gets out, and it's just her and I and then a couple of the nurses. And the nurses were fantastic. They were great. But I assumed that I would not get to witness the taco.
Did you watch The Crown occur?
Oh, yes. And this is why.
Do you recommend that?
First off, I've only seen that once, and it was in Knocked Up. So it's not real.
Okay, I do, and I do not recommend it like on a stranger. Like I wouldn't go into another person's room. Let me see that badge.
The weird and wonderful world of the Cannons. My mom sent me a VHS video cassette of my nephew's birth.
Oh, I was gonna say your own birth, and I'd be like, well, see that's that.
Oh yeah.
No.
Now there was family in the room. There's my sister, fairly nude, sweaty, and screaming. I watched about 2 minutes of that, shut it off, and went, "What the F would you even document this for? Why would it?" Now I still have the cassette because
do we need to have a viewing party?
Oh,
we can rent out a theater.
Was that Mix Fest 4?
I was like,
we
okay.
We play it on the video screen while we play.
Oh, dude. But yeah, I was like, okay, and I made it about 4 minutes, and I'm like, this is just my sister screaming.
Right.
Plus, what if the camera angle changes to the
surprise?
Crown?
There's no guarantee.
I don't need to know my sister like that.
No.
And it didn't look like she was having any goddamn fun.
No, it's not so, fun. It's very painful.
Send me a video of you guys at Wally World. I don't want to see that.
Right, let's watch America's Funniest Home Videos.
So you watched and you recommend.
And this is how it happened. I only recommend
it Did it come out like a fist first? And then the fist reached and began to... No, it wasn't like that?
It's like the little head. You see a little hair.
Damn.
And it's like, at first you can't even tell. Yeah. Yeah, she came out with hair. It was pretty cool.
That's cool.
But so, I was content with not ever seeing anything.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, while we're doing it, the nurse is like, okay, well, I need you to hold one of her legs while all this is going on. I'm like, I did not agree to this.
You got to be better than the guy that gave the epidural. Surely you can hold an ankle.
I was like,
that's how you got in this mess to begin with.
I was like, whoa.
Grab her there by the ankles, bro.
I was like, how am I supposed to be
you
over
know
her
how
shoulder?
This works.
If I think she's flexible, but I don't know if she's that flexible. But then I'm by that side. But now I'm still like,
you saw the baby crown. She's
I'm
flexible.
I'm strategically trying to not see the tacos. You know, whatever.
Taco.
Overstuffed taco.
Hey, I would have said something like my wife's private, my wife's magic zone. Steve's like, the taco.
The taco.
You know what you're talking about.
Taco flavored kisses. I'm Jennifer Lopez.
Bring him back.
So now I'm holding her, and I'm like, I figured out a way to hold her, be able to like look like I'm looking, but not look. You know what I mean? Like when you watch a horror film, but you're afraid to watch the horror film, but you like pretend that you're looking, so you zone in on a part.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I'm doing.
Pictured Steve in there.
Oh, I'm picturing
with
this
a KFC
hilarious.
Bucket on his head with no eye holes cut. You're standing there holding an angle with a KFC bucket on his head. Where are you, honey? Just push.
Just do it.
Don't forget to breathe.
Mr. Miggs, can you see this?
I see everything just fine.
Yeah, this is great. No worries.
So as I'm holding and we're getting closer, where like now the head's starting to work its way out, the nurse goes, would you look at that?
No.
And
I'm
instinct,
trying not to, ma'am.
Instinct makes me go, look at what?
Oh.
And I'll have to be honest with you. I guarantee that I only recommend this to someone who's responsible for the baby that's coming. Like you're the future dad. Or I don't recommend this just to do to someone at random or anyone else. But there's something.
By the hospital. Hey man, can I come in there?
Knock knock. That was a big fear. I walked out to go give an update to the mom and all that, and I was like, okay, I'm in room C12. I didn't know it was like C12 was the entire suite. So there's multiple C12s.
So here's Steve trying to find
A, B, C, and D's. As I opened the door, I had that moment of panic, like, am I going in the right room? Luckily, I did. That would have been really weird if I didn't, though.
Would you look at that?
Bing, you're pushing so hard, you now have black skin. What the hell's going on?
Congratulations, sir. It's a dolphin.
So I look, and dude, it's something, it's truly, like, it's amazing. It's the most amazing thing I would have ever witnessed, and I never thought I would want to see that. But she's having a hard time pushing this through, right? So I'm just like, come on, let's do this. And I'm trying to think of, like, motivational speeches.
Get, like, a plunger, some salad tongs.
Something. They hooked up, like, a bar, and they wrapped, like, a sheet, and so she could pull. So, like she's a master at tug of war now, because she's pulling.
Damn.
Pushing it out. But, like, you have to wait for the contraction. So it's, like, intensity for, like, 30, 40 seconds, right? And if it doesn't come out in those 30, 40 seconds, breather. All right, let us know when the contractions hit again. It could be, like, another minute or so.
This all sounds terrible.
It is,
I
dude. It takes forever.
It's hardcore, man.
So now we hit the point where it's, like, the baby's head is almost out. And they're, like, would you like a mirror set up so you can see? And my wife's like, no. And I don't
know why.
She's
smarter than you.
Well, then I'm the idiot. But I go, no, you do want to see this. And she's like, what are you talking about? You're watching? I'm like,
baby, this is freaky. I can't believe you're still alive. You wouldn't believe what I'm looking at.
So because she did not realize that I've been watching this whole time. She's like, wait, you're watching? I'm like, yes. And
Steve's
it's amazing.
Got popcorn and a drink. This is amazing.
I got 3D glasses on and everything. Like, this is the best 4DX experience ever.
This is better than a GWAR concert.
The first row might want to wear some rings. Gear because it's gonna get messy.
So finally she's like, all right, and they bring the mirror and she agreed, like, once, because then she could see, like, there's a finish line, but, like, you need to really, because then she had a point where it's like the baby was kind of like stuck, like you needed to give it a full go, and the doctor's like, look, we're not going to wait for the next contraction, we can't leave the baby like this for any longer and out of risk. And now I'm like panicking, I'm like, we've been waiting 6 years for this to happen, and this is how it's not going to work. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just
get the just reaches down, grabs, and pulls.
Yeah, I grab a stick of butter, whoop, whoop, and then
get the ball. We're going to score.
No, then finally, like, so Sid just freaking pushes like a monster. Like, you know what I mean? And then this what looks like a green alien comes out because it's got all the fluids.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it's just like the most amazing, beautiful thing, but also clearly one of the most disgusting-looking things because it's just covered in stuff.
Here we are.
It's screaming like bloody murder. I'm bawling tears of joy. I've never experienced true tears of joy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you hear that, you're like, cool. But when does that really happen in life? Oh, this is one of those moments.
Dude.
Sid's crying. I'm crying. Like, it's just, it was like that instant moment of, I will protect you in any way possible.
Awesome.
But please wipe her down first.
Do you have a moistened towelette in this moment of joy?
Right.
Thank you.
It was amazing, dude. It was just like one of those things where you're just like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced. You know, we just kind of, we didn't let anyone into the room for a while. We just absorbed that moment. Then they had me cut the umbilical cord, which was crazy.
You did it with his teeth.
I did it. With my teeth.
Did you wiggle it around like in Mad Max? Or
yeah. I walked out and showed them to everyone.
Did you really?
No.
Whip someone in the face with it?
I kind of actually believe that. Like, everything else we're saying, whatever.
The rest of this is fake.
See, man, honestly, in this moment, as I reflect on this amazing story you just shared, I'm glad sort of that you had a girl, because my dad often talks about, out I came, I guess they hosed me off, we've all been to county, here comes the water. And then they were like, sir, would you like him circumcised? And my dad was like,
oh,
yeah. And dad said he watched my circumcision, and all he has said to this day is,
sorry,
you didn't like it.
No, really?
So I'm picturing Steve's moment of joy being like, oh my God, what did I just do to my son?
Oh, I did. I was wondering if I did. So the baby was born December 13th at 12:01.
Friday the 13th,
little demon.
So that's afternoon.
Afternoon.
So you guys were up all night. You said 18 hours?
18 hours.
Dude!
It was brutal.
Man!
Yeah, I mean, like, it was like you're struggling to keep awake. But once the baby came, then the adrenaline
You're, like,
in.
Delirious.
But then, like, another 3 hours or so later, then you're just like, what the F is going on? I'm glad. I was looking through my videos. I don't remember even recording this, but at 12:51, I just videotaped the baby on my wife. And I don't even know if she's crying or not, but this is, like, the first... Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a sad looking face.
It's like, you know what I just been through?
Yeah. It was warm in there.
Oh, that's awesome. The child's not translucent.
No. We put the skin on her. Yeah, that was pretty much it right there.
Oh, that's a pathetic face.
My wife's talking to Steve. Yeah. I was crying. That's me, actually.
That's a sad looking.
That's rad, dude.
That's my life right now.
That is so awesome.
My life is just a series of videos. Like, I was just like, here's her snoring.
Oh.
And thanks to everybody, all the people who messaged. I try to at least like or react to every comment that we could, because like, it kept me sane, honestly. Like, while we were, there's nothing to do in a hospital. Hospitals suck.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, the TV, the channels that you have access to suck. And then if you find something that you want to watch, you have to listen to it through one of those stupid plastic recorder transistor radio sounding things.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, okay, yeah.
Should have brought my damn Google Chromecast and watched some wrestling.
But yeah, anyway, when it comes down to
sure
it,
your child's coming
all that.
In a minute.
Yeah, in a minute, Brock. Why don't
you get coming now? No. You misunderstand. I'll be there.
I'm trying to
in
set
a
up.
Right, hold on. Kofi Kingston's about to win. But it was amazing. And it's cool to hear from everybody.
Dude.
And so that's been my life in the last few weeks. It's funny. Everybody's always like, "Did you get enough sleep?" I'm like, I don't think people realize in our life, mm-hmm. getting up at 3 a.m. You know, and sometimes out training the night before, doing some stuff. Like, I'm getting five, sometimes three, but 5 to 6 hours a night. I wasn't getting a lot of sleep. Since this kid, I've been getting way more sleep.
That's rad.
I'm not going out at night. I'm not doing anything. I'm just home all the time.
Wow.
And we're going to bed like at a reasonable time. And we're getting up at like 6 a.m. I'm getting like 8 to 9 hours of sleep, with maybe a quick wake up in the middle of the night to make sure she's fed. But really, it's my wife that's doing that. Like, I'm sometimes sleeping through it because the kid doesn't cry. Like, she does not cry.
That's rad.
Except for, like, a couple moments, like, when she wants mom's boob, but, I mean, I relate. Come on.
Come on. Have you sampled?
I have not.
Because
I
watched Mark Harris do that, because Mark's a weird guy anyway, and I watched him do that, and it turned my stomach.
I don't think I could do
it. Like, I know milk is milk, and the stuff I drink is out of the nipple of a damn cow, but I don't want to meet the cow. And watching Mark take a swig of that breast milk, even right now, it kind of makes my throat tighten. It just made me sick, even though that's natural and that's what they're for and the whole thing. Mark was like, oh, dude, it's not bad. And I was like, don't ever. Like, yeah, it wigged me out. So I wonder if you were like, I've tried some of Sid's milk. Pretty tasty.
No, man, I don't ever want to try it.
See what
I ain't
I'm
gonna
saying?
Lie.
You're with me, right?
No, man. Yeah. Like, it's just like I know my wife was joking. I said, "Do you want a sample?" I'm like, "No, I it's nothing personal. Please don't take it personally."
Yeah, and apparently, it's like Mark was like, "Dude, it's just milk," and I'm like, "Okay, but I don't, like, dude, okay. You know, I've watched that girl drink tequila, man. I don't want to." You know, man.
No, dude, I have zero interest. There's nothing that doesn't seem like anything that I'd want. I mean, I could bring in a little for each of us if we wanted
to.
Like, I'm just kidding.
No.
I've secretly replaced all
if you
the.
You did that, Rev. Here it is, guys.
Well, that was the thing, too.
I was
going to
make
number...
that joke, but then I decided not to.
There's like three vials for each of us.
I don't even want to
like,
say. Yeah, no.
Whole milk, 2%.
We have
Sid.
Done some amazingly stupid things on this podcast over the years.
We're not doing that.
I would have to pass on that.
No, I put icy hot on my balls again before I do that.
Now, on that note, if Michelle was pregnant, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to try it.
Really?
But I'm not.
You want to try my wife's milk?
No.
That's rude.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, I...
But, I mean, if it came down to my wife, you know...
Are you curious enough that you would want to...
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I'm not.
I have zero interest. I mean, it's probably just milky. I don't know.
Mark said, he was like, dude, it's just milk. That's literally how he was. He's like, dude, it's warm milk. And I'm like, dude, I get that. I just, my brain cannot wrap its head around the source.
See, and my problem is...
Even though I'll drink from Bessie all day long.
And that's right. The thing is, I've recently gotten really weirded out about that concept. Maybe because we had spent so much time off and maybe I'd smoked way too much weed. But there was a point where, and I've decided to make a concentrated effort to cut back on things like milk and cheese.
Yeah.
Because it's a foreign source of bodily fluids.
Interesting.
That is a little bit, it's like cheese has suddenly weirded me out.
Cheese is basically old milk.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, they put that stuff in a bladder and they laid it out in the sun and then it turned into cheese.
Yeah. I know you like cheese, though.
I really like
it. Have you tried vegan cheese? There's certain ones.
I have not.
I'll find out the ones that Sid has. There's some, like a Havarti. I don't even know what it's like. Someone even made out like some nuts, like not nuts, but like you know, like coconut, not coconut, like cashew nuts.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah, dude, there's one that she gives me, like, I'll sometimes just randomly go in the fridge and grab a slice out of it, like when you were a kid and you grab, like, the American cheese,
mm-hmm.
I'll just eat it. It's like a Havarti type, and it's delicious.
No kidding, okay.
So, like, at least, like, you can still enjoy cheese. It might be, it's not, I've been so long since I've had
almonds don't have nipples, Rev.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not something where I'm like, because people are asking, what, do you mean you're going to go, like, vegan or something like that? And it's like, no, I still love steaks, and I'm still going to eat, like, eat cow.
Yeah.
I just don't want that fluid.
It's like, I don't like octopus, or, you know what I mean, like, or, like, eel, but I love sushi.
Oh, okay, yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, there's something about it. It's like, and I've had eel, and it's delicious.
Well, like, I'll eat eel.
I don't like
eel.
The vibe of it.
I don't want to hang out with the eel. I don't want to meet it or feed it. I'll eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like I weirded myself out with cheese and milk for the most part.
Well, I don't think that's that weird, though, actually.
Cool.
I get where your brain went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was sucked out of something's breast by a robot,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's upsetting. Because honestly, it is.
And when I say I'm cutting back on it, I'm still going to go home and eat the pizza that we have left over.
Oh, yeah, man.
Like,
when it's on pizza, it doesn't count.
Well, that's different, man. That's rotten milk mixed in with dough and pepperoni and tomato paste.
Well, you know, less often, I think, is where I'm going with that.
No, it's awesome, dude.
Honestly, I've noticed.
I'll bring in some of that fake cheese.
No, yeah, actually, I want to try it. Yeah, I want to try this. I'm actually really interested in this.
She figured it out, I think, within the past 4 or 5 years that as I've hit a certain age, probably because of all the damage I've done to myself via substance abuse, that I'm lactose intolerant. So, like, we'd go to Dairy Queen.
Oh, yeah.
Drink a big glass of milk because we're having milk and cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And the bathroom visit that follows is usually fairly intense.
Oh.
Like Steve comes in, grabs one of my ankles, looks away, then later asks for a mirror.
And then a nurse says, well, look at that.
Well, look at that.
Look at that.
It's like Satan's super soaker down there.
We actually have audio of Glenn in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Glenn, you okay in there?
No. I've run out of things to read.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, speaking of Glenn was responsible for me for crying while I was on vacation as well. I don't know if he knows this or not.
Was
but
that D-pic I sent to the wrong address?
It was. Well, because it was flaccid, man.
It was super flaccid, man. It looked like a terrified albino fireman hiding behind two clown boots.
Dude, speaking of flaccid, I told
oddly specific.
Remember our old dong race challenge that we did a long time ago when we sent flaccid pictures of our significant others?
Yes.
I was telling wrestler Ethan HD the other night. We were training together.
Oh, I love Ethan.
Yeah, Ethan's best. I know you're doing stuff with him. I was telling him about us doing it that time a long time ago, and he goes, oddly enough, I kind of want to do this contest. So next time you see him,
you guys are sending flaccid D-pics to your significant others to see what
kind of reaction we would get. Who would get the quickest reaction and what kind of reaction?
Yeah, this was back when...
shave that dog, teach you to hunt.
My wife, then girlfriend at the time, was at massage school, and...
She passed her phone around.
No, the problem was is they had all the phones in the back.
So she didn't respond.
She didn't respond, but then also she had it set up on the phone, so like the picture would come up.
Yeah, I get a screenshot of the incoming text.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I love you so much right now.
The best part about it wasn't so much the absurdity of the game. It was the tension after they were sent. The, Please, can you please respond already? Like, this is back when Toppy got his back right away.
Yeah, super quick.
Then I was like about 10 minutes later, and my wife was like, I'm in class right now at grad school. And I have my, she said, my phone was on the desk. I'm glad that the thumbnail didn't pop up. Like, it just looked like, I'm like, thank God. But then it was Nick and Rev did not get a response for the next hour and a half.
Oh, so you guys were wigging.
So it was like
they were visibly sweating, and like the entire time we're talking.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? What happened? Am I going to get broken up with? It was like, this is going to be a thing.
It was such a bad idea, but it was hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. It's funny right up until, like, if I saw a friend of mine physically nervous with a queasy stomach, I'd be like, this is not funny anymore.
Right, we
quit being funny a half hour ago.
I think we did, like, a two-hour podcast because we kept
hoping.
It
was really long, yeah.
We were, like, stalling because we just wanted to get we wanted resolution.
And Tom Petty wasn't kidding. Like, the waiting is the hardest part.
So you're sitting there for 40 minutes,
what's happening?
It was the hardest part for a picture of the softest part. And that's the best part. It wasn't even, like, an impressive wiener shot.
It was like a, hey, looky.
It was like, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Literally the saddest picture I've probably ever taken.
Yeah. Hey, here I am, sans blood flow. This is post Nosferatu.
This is what I look like after I pee in the morning. So while we were off, I'm having lots of like emotional moments. Like a silly emotional moment was just sitting on the couch listening to Pearl Jam with her. I got the Pearl Jam MTV Unplugged on vinyl.
Oh, not
Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That was really rad. So
that performance was epic.
The best. It's so good, dude.
That's the Dave Abruzzese performance to me.
Yes.
I mean, the band was killer, but to me, that's when I really, because you really heard what Dave was doing behind that kit.
Yep.
And the way he's all over his hats changed the entire way I look at and think about drumming and drummers.
Yes.
Dave works his hats. It's like having three different percussionists with shakers going on.
Yep.
Just, I was like,
he's doing so much.
I was like, my God. Yeah,
rolling on accents.
Dude, it's
Louis does a lot of that kind of stuff on your record, man. He's very,
well, and it's because I'll
very
talk drums
fun
with
on
him.
The hats.
I cannot play drums. Well, I could do some songs. Yeah.
Oh wow, we got a blowout.
Yeah. Sorry,
he's crowning.
Amen.
but yeah, I love drummers and drumming, and it's cool like to geek out with Louis.
Yeah.
Like, dude, man, the way you work your hats, you really remind me of Abruzzese and this and that. And he's dude, thanks. Like we can actually talk.
Oh, I can see the influence.
Yeah.
Or I can hear the influence, which is a compliment because he's an incredible drummer, and so is Louis.
God, yeah.
No, like there's moments where I was listening to record. I'm like, oh yeah, I see what's going on.
Oh, dude, and he's gotten it's great live as he's gotten more and more comfortable. Louis's been really like, there's a few nights where after the show he's been like, sorry about that, man. I'm like, no.
Oh, dude,
loose, bro. Because he does it in such a tasty way.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, tasty.
Yeah, it's kind of like he knows what he's doing. Yeah,
yeah. He's like good at this or something.
Yeah. So, so there's lots of like cool moments. So the other day we were like right around the holidays. So it was like right around Christmas. And you just put out the cover of Time After Time on the internet. And I know this song has nothing to do with a relationship with a man and his daughter. It's actually a relationship. But there's like, I think, right?
I think it could be anything you want.
All right, well, the chorus.
I think the chorus lyric could certainly translate to a father and his daughter.
That's what the chorus is what made me cry. But I felt like the rest of it really doesn't apply to a father-daughter thing. But I could be wrong. But I wanted to give you some
love. Give it 18 years.
All right. Great. But yeah, so there I am just listening to that chorus. And I'm looking at this baby. And I'm like, yep, that's exactly what I'm feeling right there. So I just wanted to play some of it. Because
thanks.
I thought it was an incredible version that you did. And it's free on YouTube.
Yeah. You can also go to the Glen Cannon Bandcamp right now and download it for free.
Nice.
Lying in my bed, the clock ticks and I think of you. Caught up in circles, confusion is nothing new. Flashback to warm nights almost left behind. A suitcase of memories. Time after, sometimes you picture me. I'm walking too far ahead. You're calling to me. I can't hear what you have said. And you say, go slow.
God, that came out good.
And I'm
sounds great.
I'm really happy with how this came out.
Yeah, it's great production. Your voice is killing it.
Thanks.
Here comes Steve crying.
Time after time, if you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time, if you fall, I won't catch you. I will be waiting. Time after time.
Around that moment when my wife, as always, whenever she hears you sing, she's like, Glenn's just got such a cool rock voice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
I'll
she always
that.
Says
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Sid.
Yeah, she's a big fan of your voice. I was like, well, try being stuck in a room listening to that voice for 2 hours once a week. Giving it a nice comments on it, too. I'm looking on YouTube.
Yeah,
well
people really responded well, man. We were all real happy.
Beautifully done. Nicely done, gents. Awesome. Nice work, Glenn. Nice work. So amazing. Amazing bros. Nailed it. I hope Cyndi Lauper hears this.
She's gearing up to sue me right now.
The drum beats out of time. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after
Shout out to Hemp Films for making a great video
for
it.
Oh, yeah, man. Ryan Healy came in and basically shot the entire... We were in the studio for 2 days, basically. We went in to do this one and Criminal. And Ryan came in and shot the whole thing. And then spliced together two... So the videos you see are really us building the song. It's all, like, real footage of us recording this.
That's cool.
Ryan did an amazing job. Hemp Films, everybody. Any band out there that needs video work done? Oh, my God.
If you lost, you can look and you will find me.
It was interesting. We had talked about various songs that would be cool to cover.
Yeah.
Stuff that was outside of what people might expect from us, which is something we're striving to do more and more. And we were originally going to do, because Lance at one point had mentioned, like, man, I really love playing aggressive piano. And I'm like, well, let's do Fiona Apple's Criminal.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. And then the other one we were going to do was George Michael's Freedom.
Okay.
Specifically so we could have Tommy Sanvallejos come in and lay all the percussion on it.
Yeah.
So we got together, and Criminal was coming together pretty well. Originally, I was doing all the Mellotron stuff on guitar, and it just wasn't working, so I ended up borrowing a Mellotron from the Pearl Jam guys to use on the track.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, well, God bless Floyd Reitzma over at Studio Litho and George Webb, Pearl Jam's equipment manager. Really sweet guys, yep. And more than once I've reached out and said, hey, boys, and Brett, of course, will reach out, hey, fellas, can Glenn borrow? And they're like, of course. You know, like, it's...
I heard you wore Stone Gossard shoes, too.
Yeah.
Like, can I just borrow your shoes?
Can I borrow your kicks, man?
Yeah, I put new laces in for him because that's cool. You know, it helped me keep better time because Stone's got a pocket for days.
After time.
But yeah, anyway, we got together in pre-pro and figured out pretty quickly that Criminal wasn't going to want guitar the way I was approaching it. So I was like, man, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm almost all about getting away from guitar so we can really present something unique to people. Yeah, here you go. And then we tried George Michael's Freedom, and it just was not coming together.
Right.
I tried a couple different approaches. Louis had a couple different approaches, and it just wasn't happening.
Need more Will and Wallace in that one.
Well, yeah, man, and I think everyone had a little bit of a different idea how to, like, I think... Lance and Jeff were doing it very album correct. I wrote all my parts and even demoed it to the album version, but Louis had a bit of a different version and arrangement going on drums, and it just wasn't coming together. But right around that time, we were gearing up for Live Day. And of course, Live Day was all 80s.
Yep.
And so, you know, the obvious thing is, well, okay, it's all 80s. Well, you know, we're a rock band, so let's go do a Guns N' Roses song or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, I'm like, dude, there's going to be all these dope tribute bands really knocking that stuff out of the park. So rather than get up and do some rock 80s song, let's just do something no one expects. And I was like, what do you guys think of Time After Time? And Lance was like, oh my God, I love that song. I already know it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I don't want to play guitar on it at all. Lance is like, huh? And I'm like, yeah, no guitar. Let's do it all with you on grand piano. And he's like, oh. And the first time we played it, we were like, oh, this is going to be cool. And then we worked out the arrangement. We called it the music box part. And I was like, dude, what if during that first verse, it's just you and me, the player higher? And he'd start, and I'd be like, no, actually higher. And he'd be like, no, and I'd be like, try playing even. He's like, oh, wow. So way up in this high register, I'm like, yeah, like a goddamn music box.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where those little bits came from. And that's kind of, but it was really because of Live Day that Time After Time ended up becoming
that's cool
the song. And then, of course, we did it on Live Day and brought it down. Great. People loved it. You know, people were so excited about it. So it was like, okay, we've made a cool choice.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like it's confirming that, okay, this is a good call.
Yeah, people really dug what we did. So, yeah, anyway, that's how the two songs came about.
I love this song.
Dude, me too. So fun to sing. That's Mr. Brett Eliason on the tambourine there in the
is
choruses.
It?
Yep, tambo.
That's high.
That's Brett doing the tambo.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So as we got the mixes back, and it was sounding great, and all of us had noticed, like, hey, we didn't fly in that tambo that's real present in those choruses. And about the time Lance and I were talking about it, Brett hit me up. He's like, we need that tambo.
Yeah.
And so
you do need it.
So Brett flew it in and put it right up front in the mix. He was like, that fixed it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool.
It's really cool.
So it's a great version by Brett Eliason and the Damage Done.
Yeah, that's right. On lead tambo.
And both are available on YouTube, also your Bandcamp.
Yeah, YouTube, and then if you just go Glenn Cannon Bandcamp, you can pull just the audio for free on my Bandcamp page. Well, it's still under Glenn Cannon, so it's not Glenn Cannon the Damage Done, but it's us, right?
Yeah, Google it, bitches.
Yeah, and then I'm working on... I've run into some hiccups with digital distribution, but hopefully we'll see it on like Spotify, Pandora, stuff like that soon.
Nice.
For streaming.
Great groove to this.
Yeah. It's a killer song.
Fiona Apple, it's so underrated. Especially
dude.
The first two records.
Oh my God, I
After
know.
After that, she might be doing cool stuff. I stopped listening.
This is the only song of hers I know.
Oh.
But it's funny, man. Like, everyone was like, man, I'd forgotten about there. That song. And I'm like, dude.
I've never forgotten about the song.
That song's incredible. Like, it was
like
interesting with that song. I knew all the words. Like, yeah. I didn't have to have a lyric thing. It's like, I already have these lyrics memorized because I love this song. And it was great, too. Like, so.
Shadow Boxer.
Right before we were getting into it. Oh, yeah. Well, that whole title record's amazing.
Yeah.
But Lance hit me up. He's like, dude, Fiona Apple's no joke. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And he's like, yeah, I'm starting to work on Criminal, and there's a lot going on. I'm like, yeah, I know. And he's like, yeah, wow. And I'm like, oh, I see what you're saying. He's like, yeah, dude, good God. Because I think he was like, I remember that song, sure. And then he sat down with it and was like, Jesus.
What's this going on?
Is this like mid-90s?
Like 96, maybe?
Okay,
I thought it was more
like... 96.
Yeah.
Was it 96?
It's very influential in my younger life.
And then there's the other album, When the Pawn Hits the Conflicts, He Thinks Like a King.
Oh.
Which we always just called When the Pawn Hits.
Yeah.
Yeah, When the Pawn. What was the one on that one? That was
both these records are just amazing. Like the
clouds. Yeah, I like when the chorus kicks in on this one. It's a good song. And you set
my soul at ease. Yeah, like I said, when we tackled Criminal, I was like, man, the guitar's not cutting it. We're going to have to use the Mellotron. So we did it pretty much instrumentally. We did it almost album correct.
What the hell's a Mellotron, by the way?
So back in the day before they had synths, what a Mellotron was they would record like a cello or a flute, for example, Stairway to Heaven, a violin, whatever. And they would put that on a tape loop. And then that tape loop was in this small keyboard that had maybe, 16, 18 keys. And when you pressed a key, it literally played that tape loop. So if you held in the key, it would only sustain it for so long because the loop would end.
Okay.
So you'd have to, like, restrike the key. But they have a real specific sound to them. Like, they don't sound as clean as a synth, and they sure as hell don't sound just like a cello, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's what a Mellotron is. They're all over. The Beatles records are loaded with them. All that stuff you hear on, like, Strawberry Fields and all that, that's all Mellotron. Mm. So it's a very specific thing. And that's what Fiona had all over Criminal for those string patches. It was actually, with Mellotron, you have two tones you can blend. So it was a low cello and a high flute blended.
Oh, wow.
And so I found and recreated her album correct sound.
That's cool.
And and then I worked out all the, through the main part of the song, all the Mellotron's me. When you get into all the really sexy stuff in the back, played by someone who can actually play, that's all Lance. So Lance did all the Baby Grand
Lance
piano.
Lance brings the sex.
Oh, dude. It was like, hey, Lance, you know the part especially that goes, do bat and button, do dat and dat and do dat and dat. I'm like, yeah, can you do that?
You know, so when he does sexy stuff, does he put the mustache on like Freddie Mercury and the Epic Queen?
Sometimes.
Okay,
sometimes.
He should, yes.
Yeah, that wasn't a fake mustache. He grew his beard out, shaved the bottom half.
Oh, I thought that was a fake mustache.
Nah, man, Lance don't roll like that.
Good for Lance.
That's a real mustache,
Lance.
Man.
Lance rolls.
Yeah, McKay.
Because Lance is your keyboardist, and also he is the front man of the new Queen tribute band, Epic Queen.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, so he's
same
got
person.
It's JT Phillips
that
and
mustache,
Kyle
Court. Mustache, man. You can never tell. You never tell, dude.
Dude, and they killed it at Live Day as
well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Those guys
like,
live. Evoked, like, just Mercury, like, on the stage.
No, Lance does the thing.
Yeah.
He really does.
Well, because it's so weird, because I've only known Lance since meeting him through your band.
Yeah.
He's chill, awesome dude. And then in the band, like, he's, you know, he's sitting down because he's playing the keyboards. He's chill. So I've known him. I just viewed him as this chill guy. So when I saw that he was going to be fronting Epic Queen, I'm like, this should be interesting. I bet. I don't doubt it's going to be awesome.
Goes out and destroys it.
But I'm like, I didn't expect him to really turn into Freddie Mercury. And he does. It's amazing.
And I was like, dude, you got to leave the stash. He's like, no, it's coming off. I'm like, dude, leave the stash. He's going to have a gig for a while. the stash came right off. But yeah, that was proper real stash. Yeah, like Lance, if you go back to the late 90s into the early 2000s, the bigger bands in the rock scene, one of them was a band called Surreal Sutra.
Yeah.
And that was Lance McKay on vocals and guitar and occasionally keys. He's always, like, he loved the Doors, so he learned to play piano and keys by basically learning everything Ray Manzarek ever did.
Gotcha.
But he's also a wicked guitar player and a damn good singer.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
clearly,
like, you know, then once Surreal Sutra finally folded up its tents, he got involved with a Doors tribute that he was fronting, or not fronting, but the Ray Manzarek of, but he was running the project.
Right.
Then he got into another one where he's basically the Ray Manzarek for hire, but it's like a world-class Doors tribute. They fly him down to San Francisco to be Ray Manzarek for a day.
Wow.
Kind of thing. And so, yeah, when all this was coming about, originally it was a power trio, and I kept running into Lance, and I'm like, man, you know what would be cool? And Lance, God bless him, was like, yeah. I'm like, sweet. So it's one of those things as we get more into, like, writing for the next record, which there's already a ton of ideas in the hopper.
Nice.
You know, we'll get into some stuff where Lance is playing guitar, Lance is doing more harmonies, maybe Lance is singing a song and I'm the one singing the harmonies. Like, the possibilities are totally limitless.
That's cool.
The guy's a freaking stud.
Yeah.
And you know, Jeff can sing. Jeff fronts, he plays bass, of course. He's a wicked bass player, but he is the lead singer in an Allman Brothers tribute.
Oh my God.
Jeff, every time we do Robin Trower's song, to do it almost Trower correct, we have Jeff sing the songs and I just play guitar. And by the way, Louis Williams can freaking sing too.
Get you.
What are these guys doing with me, man? They need to go find a better option.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a little backstory on Lance. Anyway.
Lots of stuff going on, man.
Yeah, and Killer Queen. I know they have, I don't think they have anything in the Seattle area. I know they have a casino show coming up some point in February.
Okay.
So, but they're out there. That's Kyle Court and JT Phillips, too. I don't really know his drummer, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He sits on a bar stool, a full-size bar stool, so he's almost standing when he plays. Did you notice that?
I did.
He's a wicked, wicked drummer.
Yeah.
He sits on a damn bar stool. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. And he's an amazing
drummer. He can still like hit the pedals and do everything.
I guess he's snapping it out of his ankles.
I remember there was a band called Soda Jerk. I don't know if you remember
those guys. Soda Jerk.
We used to play with them, my old really horrible punk band when I first moved out here. We played some shows in a place called Uncle Rocky's. And
I remember Uncle Rocky's, too.
That sounds like the creepiest place ever.
It was a dump, but it was awesome in Capitol Hill, right across the street from the Salvation Army, if I remember correctly.
Damn.
But Soda Jerk, their drummer, he took Star Wars sheets from the old school, like the vintage sheets,
Yeah.
wrapped his drums and put a clear coat over, like a clear shell over them. So his drums were Star Wars drums.
That is nice. Great.
And he played standing up.
Oh, man.
He's able to stand and do the pedal. I mean, obviously, he wasn't doing like double bass or he might fall over. But like he played and stood.
Attach a sex swing to the top of the rafter there.
Right? It was pretty cool, though. It was pretty rad. So that was something I thought it was different. You know, and it was a pop punk band, so it made sense. It was like over the top, sugary, loud pop punk, and it was cool. But that was the first time I saw somebody stand and play drums. So, yeah, it's doable, Rev.
All right.
It's doable. Why don't we do some voicemails, emails, and text messages, and then we'll wrap things up.
Yeah, let's see if this will work.
It's nice to be back, boys.
I still want to just, like, leave that post-it and leave just the empty cardboard.
You can't do that.
Be a rebel.
I'll just hide the beers.
Before I get to the text messages, I just wanted to make sure I give some love. Because remember, I put out a call out for somebody to do a potential theme song a wrestling thing that's going to be happening in the near future. I can't play it yet because the thing that's happening hasn't happened yet.
Is the song done, though?
The song is done.
Is it going to happen? Kill it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they crushed it. Check that out.
I might play it and we'll just edit this out. I just want you guys to hear a little bit of it. And then we can react to it just so that it'll be like a good little tease for everybody. So we'll just remember.
Instead of editing it out, just put a long beep. So everyone that listens to the show has to sit through like 2 minutes of
2 minutes of beeping. But I want to give a credit to Kevin. He's the drummer of the band Coyote Bread, and they're the ones who did it. Or I think he played guitar on it as well. I know, right? Kevin is a great drummer. He made it all happen. Recorded it. I guess they have a recording set up. Hit up one of his friends who mixed and mastered it.
Nice.
And crushed it. Like, I got it, and I just could not stop smiling.
That's rad.
This is incredible. It's like it's a version of an old 80s song, and there's a breakdown towards the end of the song that it sounds like as if the singer of Muse just jumped in and started doing some stuff, or the singer, or Freddie Mercury. Like, it's epic. It's anthemic. It's I'm so pumped about it, and I can't wait for this thing that's going to happen in the world of wrestling for me to where I can start using it as a theme. It's going to be a tag team thing, so I got to wait a second. But I'll play it for you guys and then get your reaction. I won't play the whole thing, but just so you can get a vibe of what it's all about. But it's pretty awesome. And speaking of Coyote Bread, they have a couple of shows. I want to give them some love because they did this for nothing. They just did this because they're fans of the podcast. Saturday, February 1st, they're over at the Kraken in Seattle. Mm. And then on the 21st, they're playing at Daryl's Tavern, which I believe is in Shoreline.
Yep.
All right, so Coyote Bread, check those guys out. They're pretty badass. And shout out again to Kevin, the drummer, for making this happen. All right, I'm going to play it for you guys because I want you to hear it.
Wow, like it's nice. Like rock opera.
At the end, right?
Yeah.
I had goosebumps when I heard it.
Yeah.
I first listened on my phone. I'm like, this is really cool. I'm like, I should hook this up to the sound system. And I hook it up to the sound system. And when that all kicks in, I'm just like,
you're like, nice.
Once that goes live, send that to me because we just got a new sound system at the bar at home.
Okay.
And I want it like, we got the
that's a good drinking song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, I think they should do the legit lyrical version because it's a changed version for us. I'll give a little bit of it. I won't. But
No.
I want to wait. But they should just do the vocals as the real song.
Yeah.
And just have it like similar to how you guys do. Like give like a little sample to somebody because it's a really well produced and the music sounds great. And if you had like the actual lyrics, like our lyrics are fun and they're meant for the wrestling. But if you had the actual lyrics to the song, it's epic.
Did you
Everyone
send
loves
them
the
lyrics or did they just, okay, so you were like, this is what I'd like for you to sing.
Yeah, and they changed it a little bit to make it
like
make
a phrasing
vocal.
Yeah,
because there's a couple little changes. I'm like, oh, why didn't I think of that? That's way easier to say than what I gave them.
That's one of those things, you don't really know what's going to happen until you get into like the actual syllable placement.
Yeah.
And you're like, that ain't going to work, but I can do that. You know, it's that happens a lot. Yeah.
But right, isn't the bridge incredible?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is fun, but like, that's like,
oh, dude, that's great, man.
Yeah.
That's rad they took all that time and did that for you, man. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah. Right. And it was cool chatting with Kevin a bunch about it and just like, I was just like, that was above and beyond cool. Like,
yeah, man.
It was beyond flattered. So I do want to give those guys love. And then hopefully, maybe later on down the line, we'll get them into the cast when we have the song actually official out there.
So yeah.
If they got the free time to come hang out with us one morning on the Mixcast, because I can't thank them enough. It was. It's just insane.
Yeah.
I've listened to it in my car so many times.
Nice.
And I'm like, I listened to it while working out the other day on repeat. And I'm just like, that's right. singing about me, literally.
Straight up destroyed that workout.
I did, man. Bunch of PRs.
Oh, what's a PR?
Personal record, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah,
text message.
Yeah, yeah.
I have some personal records. 17 shots without losing consciousness.
In a row?
253-271-4787.
Don't look at me, dude. Right. No idea.
I think so. That's our text line. It's been a minute.
It's been a while.
Somebody actually was asking, hey, when are we going to hear this wrestling theme? Well, you will, but they did.
Yeah. We've heard it. It's cool, and you'll get to hear it when the time is right.
I think in about a month.
About a month.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed if everything goes well. Speaking of wrestling, this Friday, 3-2-1 battle, I'll be there.
Back in it?
Is this your first match back since the Hatchling?
First full match, yes. Yes.
Since the Hatchling?
Oh, wait, I have a promo with the baby involved with a baby championship belt that's going to freaking kill people. That's going to be for a future show. I'll be wrestling, so hopefully you guys can make it out. That's going to be a lot of fun, and that's happening this Friday at 3-2-1 Battle. So if you make it out, that'd be awesome. So we want to know anything going on with the guys at Bruiser Brody. Been dying to hear some more stuff. Nothing as of right now.
We do have one new song written. We haven't even gotten together since the night we put the song together, but the song's really bitching. It's cool.
Yeah.
And it's Tristan's first song singing with the band, and killer job. He said he's got solid lyrics together at this point. And so we have that song, and then
we'll put a text chain
out. There'll be some shows.
Yeah, we should get a show going
at some point.
But yeah, I'd say I have a couple new songs written before we get a show going.
Yeah, yeah.
We definitely have one, so just flesh it out.
Get together, rehearse once, put together four new songs, go play a show.
I think that's the way to do it.
Very Bruiser Brody.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Done game more rock and roll than that.
But hell, if the last time it was just in the middle of warming up for our show at the casino, we're just like, F it, we got these songs down, let's just make some noise. And a song came of it within like a half hour.
Yeah.
So I think one day we should let's get into the room together.
It's the rally call. Come on, boys, let's make some noise.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really the name of the record. Come on, boys, let's make some noise.
Well, I remember like we were all just sitting around. It was like, well, what do you guys want to do? And it was kind of that everyone was waiting to see if everyone else was going to say, yeah, let's pack it up and call it a night. But no one was walking away. So the question just kind of loomed. And then it became, well, I got this riff, and then boom, and what do you think of, then shwam, and then 45 minutes later,
shwam.
Yeah, dude. And it was cool. It's a rocking song.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to flesh it out and put it on tape. That's going to be awesome. Yeah. Or on digital file, depending on where we go.
Tape.
Yeah, tape.
Yeah, we're going to put it on cassette tape.
Yes, cassette tape.
Four track.
Wow.
Who can afford an 8-track, dude?
Yeah.
What are you, the Beatles?
Yeah, that's true. Get out one of those old cassette 4-track recorders.
Oh, dude, I used to have a Tascam 4-track.
I just threw mine away.
I would build up stuff because what you do is you record track 1, 2, and 3, and then you bounce those down to 4. Then you can do 1 and 2, dump those to 3. Yep. And then you do 1, dump that to 2, and you still get one more track. What's the total of tracks there that you can squeeze?
69.
69 tracks you squeeze out of a 4-track.
9, 10.
Yeah.
10-track.
People be like, dude, how'd you do all that? And I'm like, well, you just kept dumping it.
We're doing it in stereo. One half is like this, one half is that, equal it out.
I remember doing a full-on band recording through a 32-channel mixer, and we took the 2 outs of the mixer into a Tascam 4-track.
Yeah.
And had a full band demo. That was the one way back when I was shopping our demos like in Pittsburgh and Baltimore and stuff. That's what we had, was that cassette demo that we made from a 32-track desk into a 4-track in Brian Muir's basement.
Wow.
Because that's the way you did it back in 93.
Yeah, dude. I remember that. And there's things like those old Tascams. Now, I'm sure you get one at a garage sale or at a pawn shop for like, where they probably just gave it to you.
Please take this away.
I'll be like, man, I wish one day I can afford a 4-track. Our band will be able to get stuff done.
Oh, when I finally got a 4-track, I was like, oh.
Yeah. For a while, we were at like a boombox. And we record.
Oh, yeah.
And play what was in that one boombox as the other person was recording into another boombox playing another part. So it was
You went way high tech. Oh, we would just set the boombox in the corner, which is great because
that too.
Basically, the minute the first cymbal crash happened, it would overload the mic.
Yep.
So it would sound like if I was just singing a vocal, it would be like, chicken wings and sauce are really good. You know, as soon as that first cymbal crash would happen, that mic would overload and go.
I have the cassette here at work. I'll have to find it.
You'll have to find a cassette player.
That's the problem.
But I have a dual cassette deck component piece in my basement.
Yeah.
No cassette.
With all my cassettes.
There's none. Yeah, I'll have to find it because I think it's our first demo. And by demo, it was boombox, singer. We didn't have a PA. He just sang into the boombox with us playing behind him.
How did it sound? Probably, did it come out okay?
I think it came out terrible, but I'll find it.
Hey, we got a Tascam CD player in here.
Oh,
yeah, man. You know,
I don't even know how to use it.
Somewhere back there, I've got cassettes of me in like 87 and 88 with Disorderly Conduct and Headless Children, One Man's Fate.
Headless Children?
Yeah, that was one of my band's name. Disorderly Conduct, because that's what I'd been suspended for, so we changed the name from Headless.
That's a cool name, actually.
Headless Children to Disorderly Conduct.
Yeah.
I got suspended for. I'm like, I got an idea for a band name. You know, but I have those old tape demos, and I bet it just sounds like someone, you know.
We should try and find those
using
one
a sex
day.
Toy on a cat. I'm sure it's awful.
We got to find some of those. I think it'd be a fun podcast to like play some of like the old demos.
Oh, yeah. Super interested in that.
Of like high school versions of us.
Yeah, here's me at 15.
Yeah.
Covering, you know, Misfits songs.
All right, we'll have to find a cassette player. Obviously, that's challenge number one.
I have one that I could bring in.
Yeah.
Oh, you just need to patch it. So I'd have RCA cables.
That's a good question. I don't even know if we have that.
I mean, I can convert RCA to almost anything.
Yeah, I can probably get the engineers in here to help out. I'm looking at these things.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean, I got things plugged into my phone. Like,
yeah, we're doing fine.
Oh,
hey,
that's a good call. Yeah. We just got to figure out a way to wire it into the XLRs. And then
I'm sure we can just do that.
I think I can actually adapt that down. I'm sure the fidelity will be affected as appropriate for cassette demos from the late 80s.
And it gives us an excuse for when we're like, people are like, these are the worst things ever. Like, it's just because of the the recording.
It would sound better, but I'm going through three adapters for right and left just to get it from this cassette player.
Yeah, so step off,
this
bitches.
Antiquated technology.
All right, let's check out one of our voicemails. And play. Come on.
Buffering end.
Packers fan.
Stevie.
So if this is your last podcast until 2020, I want to wish all of you a
That's
happy
a
new
swing
year.
And a miss, buddy.
Sorry, dude. I had a panic
Thanks
attack.
Thanks for the Christmas card, bro.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he sent me a Christmas card. Cool. Thanks, man. Love you, brother.
Oh, quick.
What?
Thank you, Stevie.
Huh?
He wished me a happy anniversary when I forgot it was my anniversary.
Oh, you did not. For the save.
And in all fairness, my wife forgot it was our anniversary as well.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Because we just had a baby.
When is your anniversary?
The 18th.
Oh, okay.
This month. Of last month. So I got a message from him saying happy anniversary. I'm like, huh?
I love you more than ever.
I legit for a second thought it was my friendship anniversary with Stevie. I'm like, wow, that's really nice that you remembered. And then I realized, I'm like, oh crap, why time? I didn't get anything. And then Sid's like, I didn't get you anything either. So I'm sorry, I forgot to.
She got you a daughter.
Yeah, she made you this.
I got her the daughter.
Right.
It was my seed that started.
I held your ankle in the moment of truth.
That's right.
Wow.
So thank you, Stevie.
Mm-hmm.
And play.
Merry Christmas. Glenn, two questions for you. How do you know when a song is done and ready to go mix and master? Is it easy or is it hard? I don't know if that's a good question. And
all right, there's the first question.
Well,
if it's Bruiser Brody, you don't.
I was about to say it's only as hard or as easy as you make it. With the project I'm doing now, second guessing is out the goddamn window. Does it feel good? Yeah, then it's done. None of this, I've been thinking about it, I've been mulling it over, I listened to it 36 times, and I think maybe, no, just no. Does it feel good? Yes, then it's done. Mm-hmm. And moving on.
Don't pull a Chinese democracy.
So it's, and that's a great example. Yeah. You can sit there, and there's nothing wrong with analyzing your music and wanting it to be the best it can be, but that can be taken way too far. And maybe the best place to be is somewhere in the middle, like, I can pick this apart, but it's feeling pretty good.
Right.
To me, it's literally, if it feels good, it's done. And as far as getting into like, with recording, so you record it and then you get your mixes back. Usually, Brett and I have been working together so long that we really kind of know each other, but he'll send me a first mix and it's usually one of those, dude, this is spot on. Can we get that guitar solo up just a hair? Because there's a couple notes that get swallowed by the backing track. And I don't know, what do you think? Is the vocal too quiet? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And Brett will be like, I was feeling that too. And I already bumped it up half a dB. Check this out. And then you're off to mastering. But yeah, I would say, if it feels good, you're done. You know, second guessing is the devil, and it can become a snake eating its own tail. So you got to be careful of over critiquing anything, right? Just if it feels good, do it.
Yeah, I think that's the truest way to do it. I mean,
that's
music.
How Brody made that whole record, and people are like, God, that record's killer. And like, yeah, we didn't second guess crap. We wrote the songs, we played the songs, recorded the songs, done.
We went in, like, we bang out a track and then a take. And they're like, what do you think? I'm like, sounds like drums, sounds like a song.
Yeah, we're good.
Good enough.
Yeah, we're good.
Because otherwise you're just going to go nuts.
Exactly.
And I remember doing that, and I learned that just from past experiences. I'd nitpick every little hit, every little this.
The same thing.
And then when they finish mixing it all, you're just like, I don't even notice what I was nitpicking.
Yeah, so or now, you'll sit there and obsess over new things.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's
there will always
dangerous.
Be something.
It is dangerous
at that point. Let
it
go. If you get into
there's
that,
no perfect performance. There's no just let it go.
That's why
let it be what it is. It's something Brett always said for a decade. He said, "Dude, let it be what it is."
I feel that.
Well, this record sounds like, and that record sounds like, yeah, those aren't your records. Let it be what it is.
Yeah,
and it's excellent advice.
It's like that even with like radio versus like live radio versus podcasting. For a while, he's obsessed, like, oh, we could fix this in editing. And you start thinking about that. Whereas when it's live, you have no, it's just is what it is. And if you approach it like that with like whenever someone asks for advice on podcasts, I'm like, don't obsess over the fact that you said or don't obsess over a hiccup here or there. Like if it's annoyingly over the top, yeah, fix it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, just put it out there as it is.
Well, with music, and I've said this for a long time, I always tried to compare it to effing, right? And my thing is, look, when you're effing, you're not sitting there going, okay, I'm going to give her four thrusts like this. Then I'm going to move her right leg slightly to the right, and then I'll twist.
I thought that's how it was supposed to be.
No.
Rev and I have been banging.
You're just in the moment doing it, and that's the way music should be written. Does it feel good? Yeah, then do it. It's done. Don't sit there and think about and critique and second guess, and I wonder if... That just, I don't know, to me it sucks the life out of the music.
It's like when you're talking about the podcast.
Or your podcast.
Yeah, it's like when people are doing that, it's like, well, how do I get rid of all these and stuff and all that? I was like, take an improv class.
Yeah.
Like, learn to get away from those crutches and you'll be better. And people are like, but I, you know, it takes me like 5 to 6 hours to edit the podcast afterwards because they're cutting out every and everything. I'm like, first off, now you don't sound natural.
You sound like a robot.
Yeah.
Dude,
and it's not good and no one cares.
You know,
I've heard podcasts
be too,
where they cut out all the like breaths and it's just like,
oh man,
it's
so
like,
fast.
Like, yeah. Like,
when you're having a conversation with someone, how many times you say if you say 30 times when you're normally having a conversation, then let that be your podcast. Be who you are.
Yep.
Let it be what
people
it is.
People get past that after a while.
Oh, dude, I'll be listening to it. Like, yeah, this is like listening to my buddy talk. Yep. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Zone
who
it cares? Out after a while. At least that's how I feel. It's like that even with wrestling, too. Like, there's some people that obsess over every little nuance of the moves in the match. And like at first, when I was first starting, it was like, oh yeah, then what do I do right here? What do I do right there? And you get so nitpicky and you keep going over it and you want to fix and fix and fix. Now there are times where I'm like, all right, we'll go out there. I'm going to hit you with something. And then for the next series of things, I'm going to just do, I'm just going to listen to the crowd. I'm going to yell at people, but I don't know what I'm going to do.
Let it be fluid. Yep. I think it equals a better performance.
It 100% does. Yeah. As soon as I started doing that, people said that's when they noticed that I started getting better.
Because you weren't concerned over every little thing.
I wasn't worried about what's next.
Yeah. It's liquid. Now it's natural. Now it's fluid. I mean,
there's certain things you have to know, like no different than a song. You got like, wrestling's a lot like the song.
Do your job.
As long as you end it right, no one knows if you effed up the rest of it. You know what I mean? It's like, as long as you start and end well, you could screw up the rest of it.
There have been times when Glenn didn't have his guitar plugged in. Well, it wasn't necessarily plugged in. The power went out.
Yeah. The last show we did at SUR with Point One, which was a killer show, just schedules being what they were. Finally, you know, we were trying to work out a time to get together and just run down a set. And I think it was Louis who was finally like, I'm not concerned if you guys aren't. And I'm like, you know I'm not.
Yep.
So it would have been like 2.5-3 weeks. We hadn't even rehearsed.
Yeah.
Got together. Here's the set list. We got up there and played. Yep. And you know what? It was a blast. It was a riot. Was it perfect? No. Rock and roll's not supposed to be. Nope. I'm a Led Zeppelin fan, man. They were either on fire or on fire and loose. You know, man?
True. No, I'm with you, man. Yeah. That's like my favorite thing
what
about
it is.
What we did with Brody, too. It's like there are times where it's just like, you know, as long as we all do our homework, it'll be fine.
Yeah, everyone's
an
adult.
Those have been some of my favorite shows.
Do your job. And yeah, man, that's part of what kept Brody. We were loose on the verge sometimes of falling apart, and that's what made it so exciting.
Yep.
Because it's real energy, it's raw, it's rock and roll, man. When something's overly polished, I don't know, man. I think it loses that.
I mean, I could just go home and listen to it on my stereo then.
Yeah, and if that's what you're striving for, if you're striving to be as precise as, say, a Dream Theater, and there's certainly a fan base for that,
there's absolutely nothing
wrong with that. But, yeah,
that's
man.
That's not what makes me love music.
If it feels good, do it.
Yeah. Let's finish the rest of his questions.
Yeah.
Can you please play a show with Powell next year? That's all I want.
Oh, dude, right?
I don't care where you guys play. you guys can open for freaking Def Leppard and Glenn Kin and Damage Done and Pound play a show. You no, played Def Leppard El Corazon for you, I'd be happier than a pig and sorry, Rev.
Damn it.
Yeah, no, Ryan and I have talked about that. Ryan Shute and I from Pound have talked about that. Like the F the genre, F the concerns, yeah. Let's get together and put together a show. And I think it's just a matter of assembling something with a couple different bands that'll be probably pretty cross-pollinated genre-wise. But I love Ryan. I love Pound. I'm all about doing a show. It's just a matter of putting something together that fits. And I think at one point he hit me up. He had a gig at the Substation and was like, do you want to come do this? And I had something else in Seattle that I was promoting heavily like a week before that. So it would have shot both shows in the foot. I was like, oh, I really want to, but I can't, man.
Right. You don't
want to
be that
but
guy.
Honestly, it will happen at some point because I love Ryan and I love Pound. And I think it'll make for a hell of a fun, unique, and interesting evening. And what's cool is hopefully some Pound fans will hear my band and be like, well, I actually really like this.
Yeah.
And hopefully some of my fans will hear Pound and be like, dude, this is mind-blowingly cool. And that's nothing but good. You know what I mean? So I'm with you. I'm with you, Steve.
Baby Meds and Rev, remember, you won on Douglas Movies, so that's way cooler than getting $1,000 on the wheel. So bye-bye.
I mean, thanks. I love the sentiment, but no.
You would have rather had the grand?
Oh, yeah, you'd rather win $1 million.
Well, no matter what, you win a grand, but I landed on that old $1 million thing and then
bankrupt.
So you could have retired.
Yeah.
Or at least had a new car.
Yeah, right. Pay the taxes on that bitch.
Well, actually, I think the taxes on $1 million is $2 million, so you pretty much you walk with a grand no matter what.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah, the taxes are a lot, but...
Yeah, the IRS comes by with like a rubber fist and a gag ball, and they're like, here we go, son.
Yeah, you find that out even when you win what I won, so hey.
Yeah, what was your taxation on the grand? Did you get to keep like $700?
Well, I ended up with $1,700.
$1,700.
Because I did win one prize, one of the puzzles, so I ended up more than just the basic grand, but with everything set and done, I ended up, I think, like taking home like $900, which basically paid for the flight,
okay.
And, like lodging.
So the IRS didn't take it all. Some of it was airfare.
No. Yeah. So everything kind of evened out, and through all of it, I didn't like end up in the red. When it comes down to it,
okay.
Which would have sucked even worse, yeah. And you would never hear me talk about Wheel
Honey,
of Fortune whatsoever.
I was on TV and it cost us a grand.
Yeah.
That's me. Awesome. Yeah, so not so much. we'll wrap things up.
All right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Gotta get home to the baby.
Get home to the baby.
Yeah.
It's very exciting times.
Hey.
Email us, themigscast@gmail.com, 253-271-4787 for voicemails and text messages.
I was just going to say, January 24th is the Damage Done's first show of the new year. We will be at the High Dive with 10 Miles Wide. They're going
nice.
To be they're headlining wow. that show, and they're debuting a bunch of stuff that's going to be on their new
debut.
Upcoming record. So debut, you can hear a bunch of new 10 Miles Wide music at the High Dive, January 24th. Glenn Canyon's Damage Done, Ocean's Fade, and the lovely Miss Eve Clark opening
nice.
The night. So it is a killer bill that is January 24th. Tickets are on sale now, so please join us. I just wanted to let y'all know.
Rev, Grit City Podcast.
Grit City Podcast, episode 101 just came out this last Monday where we recapped what happened over the last year, and we did something from the old Migs cast where we played everything at half speed.
Oh, yeah. That's always fun.
Yes, yeah, so the drunk ones, and it was amazing.
That's badass. That's always a good time. As always, I got wrestling this Friday, but you can buy a Steve Migs t-shirt. Help me survive life with a baby. I'm going broke. ProWrestlingTees.com/I'm Steve Migs. Appreciate everybody for the love, and thanks for being patient with us. We'll be back next week. I don't foresee us missing many podcasts in the near future.
Yeah.
Unless something weird happens or I have a panic attack again. And if you don't hear it, that's the reason. So stop.
I'm nervous.
I'm worried. I'm scared. But you know what will fix that? If we stay positive.
Stay positive.
Stay positive. Stay positive.
Charlie Sheen.
I just got the joke. That's
what
awful.
The hell? That is
a terrible joke.
You guys want to edit it out?
I mean, no.
No.
Wow. All right. Have a good day, everybody.
Oh, wait.
What?
Are you taping this now, too?
Yeah.
Our fans will forgive me, you think?
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like they've been infected by him.
Wow.
Oh, dude.
Ouch.